the attempted murder on a ghost, cursed paintings burning houses down, and lighthouse keepers vanishing without a trace. History is filled with the strangest stories, and I love diving into them and finding out what's really behind them. Who is the man in the iron mask? How did Rasputin survive being murdered multiple times? And what's the deal with the missing children of Hamelin? My podcast, Certainly Strange, is a collection of bizarre, true tales such as these. In each episode, I tell one of these stories and try to solve a puzzle, or at least share a theory or two. If this sounds interesting to you, come and join me on this journey through the strangest parts of our history, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Ghosty fam, Amy here. Welcome to The Activity Continues, a podcast where three soul friends talk about all things paranormal. Ghosts, hauntings, psychics, movies and TV shows, especially The Dead Files, and other spooky and spooky adjacent things. We also like to interview people in the paranormal community, as well as past Dead Files clients and other interesting people. Sometimes we even tell your stories. I hope you enjoy the show.
Thanks for joining us again. In this, the last installment of our Chilly Chat series, we are going to be discussing the Dead Files episode called Arctic Wrath. It is from season one and is episode 21 on Max. And it originally aired July 20th, 2012. So almost 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. Wow. So this was AP's choice, so we're going to let her tell us why she chose it and what to expect regarding content warnings and all of that.
Honestly, I don't know if there is any content warning that I can think of in this episode, which is rare for our episodes.
It is rare.
That we
I thought that too.
Have any sort of glaring content warning, but as always, please check the show notes in case there is anything that comes up that we end up talking about.
I mean, there's a little bit of like misogyny.
Yeah, but is that a content warning?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying what I'm thinking.
Yeah. I mean, that was fine. The only thing that was in there too, but I couldn't spell misogynist yesterday. So I
looked it up. Yeah. Yeah.
Even in the history, there wasn't any crimes.
Not really. Mm-mm. We have the Crypt Keeper, but
there was You know what there was is a pretty gruesome helicopter crash.
Yeah, but they don't go into it very.
They don't go into
like,
it.
Into
they
detail.
Don't, but Amy does. When she sees the person.
Yeah,
who died.
I suppose.
I thought that was pretty gruesome.
I didn't. But we can. There's talk of blood.
Yeah, there is. Yes,
and a gruesome helicopter crash.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a little detail on that when we get to that. But
yeah, that's right. You did a little extra digging.
I did a little extra digging on it. Cool. I got my shovel out and I dug a hole.
Nice.
And why I chose this episode, it's Alaska. Okay. I mean, this is the only Alaska episode out of 15 seasons, yeah. I believe. I think they honed in on the southeastern and, you know, southern United States for quite a bit of this.
I noticed that because when we were looking for chilly ones, they were all in season one or two.
Mm-hmm. They were
and
all in the early
after
ones.
After that, I think Steve was like, I'm not going anywhere cold again. I'm a Florida guy. And so that's just my guess.
What was he like?
I don't know if that's what happened. And you did that. Mm-hmm. I'm doing a hoedown movement if you're not watching. Yeah, I don't know that that's what happened. That's just my guess.
Yeah. And this,
or
I
maybe
say,
Amy too. I don't know. She likes warmer weather too. So
this was an interesting episode overall. Mm-hmm. Just
it was.
It was very different from what we're used to covering.
Definitely.
Yes, it was in a lot of ways.
Yeah. And there's some really interesting things that come up, but we'll get to that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Anything anybody else wants to add before I go in the overview?
Nope. Mm-hmm.
All right. So today's recap is Arctic Wrath, as Megan stated, debuted on July 20th of 2012. And we're traveling to Central Alaska, not like Center Alaska, Central, the town, which is 140 miles northeast of Fairbanks. And it's actually not terribly far from the Canadian border. The population then was 101. And as of 2022, it's 105. So booming. population boom.
Just people, no thousand or anything, 105 people?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. I think that plays into what is some of the stuff we hear about later on. Mm-hmm. Here we meet Dawn, who is the daughter of Bill, who is the caretaker of Circle Hot Springs Resort. So if you need a map, get that out and start drawing. And Circle Hot Springs is no longer in operation as it closed its doors in 2002 and has been for sale since. Dawn is very concerned about her elderly father taking care of an old hotel in the middle of nowhere. And it's literally in the middle of the Alaskan wilderness. And it seems to have more to it than meets the eye. Dawn believes the hotel lashes out at people. Bill refuses to leave as he doesn't see the danger. Dawn isn't the only one worried. Her sister Heather, who also visits from time to time, is concerned. We learn that things fly off the walls or tables or counters, and not just falling off of them, but landing more than 3 feet away from where they started. The women here feel there's a violent presence that is always trying to scare them away or hurt them. It works to make them uncomfortable, but that's their dad's home, so of course they're going to be visiting. When we meet Bill, he doesn't seem quite as concerned. He describes door slamming and his daughters being worried, but he says he finds the spirit to be helpful, showing him where he has misplaced items, but then also says, whatever it is, it don't like women. When women are here, it seems angry. Which is concerning when we find that Bill is also married to a woman named Colette. Colette describes an encounter with what she believed was a bear in the hotel, but it fled down a small hole like the white rabbit in Alice in Wonderland. Every person interviewed describes a figure with three heads stacked on top of one another, but they all see something a little different, but it was at the same time. So now we hear about Steve's investigation, which starts with chatting with the realtor. She's surprised the estate hasn't had any interest in 10 years of being listed, because that's not the norm of the properties that she has sold. Shortly after this, we meet the crypt keeper, Bob. The owner, Bob, who lives in Fairbanks. He's 95 years old, has ears down to his chest, and has had the building since 1980. He believes the rumors that it's haunted is all hogwash and in people's heads. The rest of Steve's investigation brings us a sad story of a tragedy that occurs on a beautiful summer solstice wedding. And our time wouldn't be complete without hearing about the couple, Frank and Emma Leach, that built the hotel. Surprisingly, the couple didn't have massive amounts of tragedy like we typically hear. They didn't appear to like each other much, with her being the boss and him taking it all. Now, and Amy's journey is quite interesting. She starts off with the dead speaking to her and warning her that these grounds are dangerous. She meets a 7-foot man who she sees and talks about often. He carries an axe, likes to throw things, doesn't like women, and might be a shapeshifter. He makes her very uncomfortable, and he can go in people's minds to find out what scares them. She describes two women in more detail, one who is in a dress in her death state, and Amy feels blood is choking her and her equilibrium is off. The other is an older woman, maybe German, who is very threatening as she tries to slam Amy's head into the table. When we get into the sketch, Amy has two sketches done, one being the tall man and one being the scary lady. At the reveal, a lot of connections are made and some are left for us to decide, was that actually the person Steve uncovered or just coincidence? The reveal shares that the tall man finds their fears and shows them, and Amy's concerned that he's able to do this all at the same time. We make the connections that the tall woman hating man and angry woman are likely Frank and Emma. Bill mentions that Frank is his buddy. At the end, Amy tells us that they actually don't have a ton of different things that they have to do. No mediums, no shaman, no Reiki masters. Bill has to have a stern talk with Frank to behave. Tell him there are terms and conditions for staying here and that there are consequences if not. We have a voiceover from Amy telling us that entities can remain at a location because they're allowed to. If they start causing problems, you can demand they leave. I don't think we hear her say stuff like this later on. Mm-hmm. For Frank and Emma, they do not want to leave. So will Bill have this stern talk with his buddy Frank? Will his daughters and wife be safe there? Find out if the activity continues. Well.
It's a good one.
Well, where shall we start with? So as we've kind of gone through, we have different segments that we're covering all of this in. And the first segment is the whole background of everything that's going on. So like we said, we meet Dawn, who is concerned about her father. But Dawn doesn't live in Alaska. Dawn lives in Indiana, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's visiting her dad. It sounds like they visit quite often.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
sounds expensive.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's a trek.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Yeah.
Because I don't know if the listeners know this, but you can actually see Russia from Alaska.
That's
according
right.
To Sarah Palin.
Oh, my God.
Are we sure
you
about
can see
that?
Russia from
get me
my
started
house.
On her.
I loved when she was describing the crazy things happening in the hotel. And I was like, is this The Shining?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, my God. I thought the same thing. It's very Shining-esque when, you know, the guy who is going to stay at the hotel and it's empty, it's abandoned. There's nobody there. He's just, you know, there to have a body
I'm
there.
Waiting for him to have a in the saloon that's right next to it to have like a conversation with the bartender who's not actually there.
I know.
Or sit in a room with a typewriter and trying to write his novel.
Oh, my God. I love that book. I love that movie. They're very different stories.
Stephen
I love
King
them both.
Hates the movie.
I know he does because it's completely different.
Mm-hmm.
But I love them both. But that movie, in the scene, for all of you who have seen it, there's a scene where
50
where
years later.
Jack Nicholson is typing on the typewriter, and he's typing, "All work and no play makes Jack a dull boy," over and over again. That's all he's typing. He thinks he's writing his novel. She thinks he's writing his novel. He's just writing that. Mm-hmm. She finds that out. He finds her finding that out, and he comes after her, and she's got a baseball bat, and he's coming at her, and she's going, and she's winging the baseball bat at him. And that scene, for some reason, scared the fucking shit out of me. Mm-hmm. I had nightmares, and I still have nightmares where somebody is coming at me. I'm trying to fend them off, and they're making fun of me, because that's what it was. Is that when she's going, no, and she's swinging the bat, he's going, no, and he's mocking her and making fun of her. That was so terrifying to me.
Didn't that movie fuck her up?
Yeah,
Shelley Duvall.
Yeah,
Stanley Kubrick was. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like what Hitchcock was
Hitchcock,
to Tippi Hedren.
Yeah.
So, I've got some stories because I did. I know I've shared a couple of them on the Stanley Hotel when I was there a couple years ago and did a little tour there. But we'll get into some more of that later on because there are more connections to The Shining.
Yep.
What I feel like there are. But I also loved it because the music early on was very, I put in here, very Agatha Christie movie, like mystery like. Mm-hmm.
Yes, it was very cinematic.
And it was very subtle. And I liked how they, not subtle is the wrong word, but it wasn't so like cliffhangery, over the top dramatic music that we have in the later eps.
Yeah.
But I put in here too, like when Amy's talking, then they start making it sound like there's a monster coming up. So it kind of feels like it's Jaws or, you know, some other creature movie like something's going to pop out from around the corner.
Yeah. The sound was definitely different and it was really cool. Mm-hmm. And the cinematography too, or the camera work or whatever you want to call it, was also really, it didn't rely on gimmicky stuff like it did later.
Exactly.
In later episodes.
It was more natural.
Yeah.
There was no fog machine.
Right. And then voices going.
No backlit outside night shot of the property.
I like that, actually.
I don't like those.
I like it.
I don't mind it, but I think that's
pretty cinematic. I like that. But yeah, you're right. It's totally different.
And yeah, you called out, Amy, the caretaker being in the middle of nowhere in Alaska. Again, another correlation to The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah,
in that aspect.
Which is probably enough to make anybody go cuckoo.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
In the middle of winter. There's nobody around.
Well, there's a town in Alaska that is literally, the entire town is in one building.
Oh my God.
Everybody lives in one just big kind of high rise type thing because it's so remote. So they have a school, they have the library, they have a restaurant and coffee shop, and everything is in this one building.
Oh my God. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
That makes me think of how people are saying that they should take old abandoned malls and turn them into Gen X.
It's called Whittier. Homes.
Whittier, Alaska. Yeah.
Whittier, Alaska. Okay. 218 residents. Almost all of them live in one building.
Wow.
That's cool. High rise, I mean like 10 stories tall, but.
Yeah. For, you know, relatively speaking, it's a high rise.
I, you had dropped in here about we're talking with Dawn. So Steve's sitting there talking with Dawn, and she talks about having rugs that were flipped over. Only when I heard her describing, it sounded like she said they were standing up on their edges.
Yes, they were rolled up and standing on the edges.
Oh, see, I didn't hear the rolled up part. Oh, I just heard that they were standing up on their edges. Okay, so you and I heard the same thing, Megan.
And I got real scared because I'm like, that's fucking terrifying. If you walk in a room and a rug is just on the flat end.
That's why
wall.
I was like, is this Aladdin? Do we have Aladdin in the rug here? I mean,
I just wrote, in the words of Randy Jackson, it's a no for me, dog. Like, I would shit my pants.
Yeah.
No, I'm looking at the transcript now. She did not, I don't think she did say they were rolled up. I don't know if she did a gesture or something that made me think that's what they were doing. Mm-hmm. And what I thought was, and like Steve said, did someone come in here? And she's like, no, nobody had access. But what if the like cleaning people did and they came in,
it's
pulled
a town
the rugs?
Of 101
yeah, I know.
People.
And now I'm thinking back to the place wasn't open. So they probably did not have a cleaning crew. Because I know when I worked at the club I worked at, they would overnight, the people would come in and take all the rugs and then drop off new rugs.
Yep.
They didn't set them down. They rolled them up and stuff, left them in the corner so that you could mop the floor before you put the rugs down.
Got it.
So that's what I thought she, I was like,
I totally got what you were going for, but I was like, I don't remember hearing them say that. And then,
and she didn't.
It would make sense if it was in a larger town or more connected areas, but
yeah.
Or an open building. Like, it's not even an open business.
And I hadn't realized that when I made that comment.
It sounds like people stay there. And I don't know if it's just family and friends or if it's like family of those that are in the town, but it doesn't sound like it's not operational.
Yeah.
Like it's not taking in income.
Right. Yeah.
Because the guy wants to sell it.
Right.
No, thanks.
Yep.
Oh, and then we said, Megan, are you the one that when Steve said, so nobody came in and messed around and then walked out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wrote, could it have been the dogs? But we're still early enough in the show that he's not asking that yet.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, maybe it was the bear.
Maybe.
I will say that they keep showing like the shots of the outside though, and it is a very beautiful looking building.
It is.
It's a really cool building, yeah. And it looks like a cool area. It's just nothing around it for 100 miles or more.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I noticed is Amy is, she looks very timid, very shy. Her eyes are very like doe-eyed in the earlier episodes. So, and she's very like, she whispers a lot and you can just tell like she's very unsure of herself. So that's another way that I'm able to tell it's an earlier episode because she's just like looking around. She's not like coming in like she does later, like, fuck you, I'm going to come in here.
Right. Oh, I remember noticing that when I started from episode one. And once I got to season three, I'm like, oh my God, I remember messaging you, Megan. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm in season three now. Amy swears all the time.
Yeah.
She says fuck.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Well, I think just when she started, you know, she wasn't used to doing this every day or every other day. You know, she wasn't used to having to put herself through that so often.
And when
so,
she started,
it was
she
scary
was in
her
late 30s or early 40s doing this.
Really?
Because if she's only in her 50s now.
Yeah, she's 51 now.
Yeah, so she would have been late 30s when she started this.
Okay. No,
and
didn't look it.
No,
I would have put her mid-20s.
Yeah
because she would have been, because that even if it was 15 years ago, she would have been for with the first
36.
But yeah, you're right, she was more innocent.
Yep.
She had not lost her innocence, her psychic innocence. Mm-mm. Yet.
Yeah, well, I will say, kind of as we go through here, I saw a lot of, Amy, you were doing a lot of rational brain thinking of like all these explanations, the rug, the doors, all these different things.
Brain thinking?
Rational brain thinking.
Oh, I see. Rational hyphen brain thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rational like logic brain. Right. You were using brain.
Right.
And,
yeah, that's my nemesis.
But
yeah, because I guess, I always try to do that, but like I said, I've always said I want to believe. So
mm-hmm.
I
usually push
try to
that
do
away.
That too.
Yeah, you do, Megan, all the time. Everybody says so.
I know. They're like, God, Megan, you can't get her to believe anything. Oh, she's so logical.
Really got to work on that one.
Oh, I know. It's tough.
Reminds me of when I convinced students that there was a Q in watermelon.
Silent.
Yeah.
Comes after the CH.
They honestly looked up watermelon in the dictionary. They're like, Miss Pierzak, it's not in here. And I'm like, I know.
At least I got you to open the damn book, didn't I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were a good group of kids that you could kind of play around with there. Yeah. Just all the different things. It is an old building. It's Alaska. There's probably drafts. There's probably things that are happening that we're just, you know, if you've already had some sort of experience that you're just now associating with whatever you might think to, your brain's going to just jump to that conclusion.
Right. No, I had doors in my old house that
I'm glad you had doors.
Yeah.
I wasn't fangled
invention.
My goodness.
They paid extra for those.
We did. And they didn't even work, because I'm about to tell you. But I would close the door and it would sound like it was latched, and I'd walk away and it'd go blink. It would pop back open. And of course,
what did it go?
Blink. I'm only going to do that.
Please,
that's
please,
only
time you need to that. Definitely put a like cartoon bubble sound.
Yes.
That's okay. Nobody watches our videos anyway, even though I spent hours editing them and I think I'm hilarious. And then they
are hilarious.
Even watches
you
them.
Are hilarious.
Anyway. So if you're just listening, watch our videos. I put a lot of graphics in there and shit. They're fun. Anyway, you close the door and then you turn around and you could hear it go bunk and it would open back up again. And I go back in, I shut it, and it would sound like it's latching, but if you pull it right after you close it, you can tell it's not latched.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I was like, you know what? I've had doors like this. It could just be that you think it's closed and it feels like it latched, but then it really didn't because it's an old door.
You could just have a dog that's on the other side and it
pushing
noses
it open. It's a dog.
Because you're on the other side of it.
It's always the dogs. Or a cat. A cat would do the same thing.
Yep. But
yeah,
Megan,
but they'd stick their paw through the door.
Underneath.
Mm-hmm.
Underneath, they stick it underneath and pull.
Marshy does it where he like puts his paw through the door and then like nuts.
So your dog credit cards the door is what you're saying. All right, I love Megan's comment that's later on after we hear the first description of the three-headed thing.
Mm-mm. I wrote there'd be a Megan shaped hole in the wall because she's telling about Dawn is talking about how she saw the figure, and then she's like, it was just looking at us. And then Steve goes, you stay the night there? And she goes, I did. And I said, nope, I would have noped the fuck out of there. Never.
The fuck out.
Never. Goodbye. Never again. And the thing, they're like all so nonchalant about this stuff. And I'm like,
yeah. Well, and I mean, like, even in the next part, we hear Dawn sees somebody who looks like, she's like, well, it looked like a grandmother. And then she just casually just keeps going.
Yeah.
And I would say that also the reason I threw elderly into my description is because this is Steve's like word of the episode is elderly.
Oh, so drink every time he says elderly? Yes.
Pretty much. He's talking, you know, your elderly father.
Yeah.
He wasn't that old.
No.
Yeah. He was probably in his 60s.
I mean, he's not
70s, maybe early 70s.
He's not the crypt keeper with ears tucked into his pants. I mean, he's
that guy was
cannot say that he did not have long ears.
I didn't even notice, but he had a weird ass teeth. I'll give you that. But
that's because he's
I don't
a
remember
crypt keeper.
His
ears. He's got to go find some young flesh.
I'm surprised when he talked, dust didn't shoot out of his mouth.
I know. I have some stuff about him too.
What we're saying is that he's old.
He's old is what we're saying, but we're not there yet.
Dead now.
Oh, I'm sure.
He was 95 back then. I know that's terrible. We should be laughing. But
no, but you're right.
He's not hearing this, is what you're saying. Although,
or he
you know
is.
What? Or he
but
is.
He didn't seem like a great person from that clip.
Oh, we'll get there because we're not there yet, but we'll get there. Okay, so we're on elderly descriptors. Oh, the Amy seeing the man and the woman. Mm-hmm. The man, a woman and a kid.
A woman and a kid crying. And we kind of see, you know, this Abby says she reminds me of a German grandmother. We've already heard Dawn say she's seen a grandmother. So I like, for me, I don't know, like all of her descriptions that we're going through, I was like, huh, this kind of makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we're going through, I think some of it does make sense later on, but it's also the, that whole fact of she was a bossy woman and mm-hmm. she ruled with an iron fist kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe she got that way because somebody wouldn't listen anymore. And
exactly.
Yeah. So anyway,
or maybe she wasn't bossy. She was just confident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, she had to take control and she did. And then mm-hmm. people didn't
because
like that.
Because if a man were to do that, we would say that he's assertive. Confident and sure yeah. of himself and mm-hmm. assertive. But a woman is bossy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, she is bossy based on what we learn later, but I yeah. was yeah. very annoyed at those descriptors. Like,
yes. Yep.
Well, and that's just, it's not like they were describing like anybody in the show today was describing her in a bad way. It's just
no.
that's how she was seen
well, and
back
they,
then.
They didn't have a lot of information. We'll get here. We'll get there. They didn't yeah. have a lot of information on that whole story. So now we're just using like hearsay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and it's not like it's the first time we haven't heard of a spirit get angry in the afterlife.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Who was normal in life mm-hmm. and then is pissed when they're dead. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But we do meet Heather, Dawn's sister. And mm-hmm. apparently Heather worked here in the 1980s, late 1980s.
Yeah. 89 for about 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, that's reaching back.
Yeah. Well, yep.
That's a few years ago.
That's a few years ago.
At that time, it was only, what, 23 years prior. But yeah.
Also, I just want to point out how quickly I just did that math.
That is really good. Those meds are working.
They are working. Mm-hmm. Super smart.
And she talks about seeing a full figure apparition in a window. Mm-hmm. And Amy, you put in a picture here that, yeah, if you have some of that lace.
Yeah.
Those lace curtains and windows, it's really easy to get your brain to
yep.
trick into some of those things.
Especially if you're already AP, like you said, aware of that stuff, mm-hmm. you're going to be hypersensitive to anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So your brain is going to make things that maybe aren't there.
Yeah.
Not saying that she didn't see it,
right.
but right. this is one that could possibly be potentially debunked.
Yep.
Right. Right. Because a lot of times, like, do you remember when Zoe, our friend and patron Zoe, sent us a picture of the home she was living in for a short time? And mm-hmm. she was like, this place, I think this place is haunted. And why did a light just go on in your room?
Because my dad turned it on.
Oh, okay. I thought it was paranormal.
Nope.
Oh, there
nope.
goes.
It's just human.
Well, anyway.
I can see it. That's why they asked about it.
Don't kill him. You would not like prison.
Oh, I can't have my dogs there. Just keep reminding me that.
I know. Okay. I had to remind Jody about that because she's going on a cruise with her mother. Mm-hmm. And I said, don't throw her over. You would not like prison.
Although international waters.
Yeah. I mean, if you're not caught.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's not give away her whole plan here.
I'll cut that.
Yeah.
Anyway, but when we saw that picture of Zoe's house.
She uses a flip phone.
And
she does.
She's not listening. No, she might listen. I don't know. She does listen to podcasts. She loves podcasts. But when
Which
you.
Which is ironic because she uses a flip phone. I'm so sorry.
No, she doesn't listen on her phone.
She can't.
She can't.
It's from 1989.
I know. She listens on her laptop.
Okay.
But anyway, Zoe's place. So she showed us a picture and the windows. She said, I think I saw something in this room or whatever. And I was like, I see something in that window. And it looked a lot like this, like the mm-hmm. curtains are there. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I didn't really think there was anything there. But I'm like, I can see how you would look at that picture. And my brain can make an outline of a human.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. I can make I can find faces and things.
Yep.
Like if you give me a pattern of something, especially like tile floors.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. I will find patterns in tile floors.
Yep.
Speaking of tile floors, did you guys, when you were little, ever, when you were going to the bathroom, ever count the tile floors or like
yes.
look for the patterns in your tile floors?
Girl, what do you think I was talking about?
Yeah.
Before, I didn't know. Before we had cell phones, we had to read shampoo bottles.
Huh? I read shampoo bottles. Yep.
Lotion bottles.
Lotion. Well, I usually had magazines in there too, but yeah.
My parents' go-to was a Reader's Digest.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Those are definitely mm-hmm. toilet material.
Oh, a thousand. They had to have, like, that had to have been their marketing.
It
when
was,
they made
because all
Reader's
the stories
Digest.
Were short. They were short enough just for a poop.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sorry, I'm done now.
Short enough for a poop. That's another title.
There's
option.
A title.
So with that transition, just going to go to the next comment that Megan had in here that I thought was great, where we're talking, C's talking with Heather, and he's like, you think whatever's here is dangerous?
And I'm like, it's always going to be dangerous. They wouldn't call him in if it was a nice ghost.
Right.
Like, there's never an episode where you think it's dangerous and they're like, gosh, golly, Steve, no, I don't. Yeah, I just want to find out what it is.
I put down a little bit further. Steven, do you think they would have called you if they weren't afraid for their father?
Exactly.
Because then he asks, he goes, so do you think it's dangerous? And then he goes, so are you worried about your dad? No shit,
just
Sherlock.
Fucking like, said it's dangerous.
Yeah.
He is, he doesn't even need a Watson. He is that good of a Sherlock.
He doesn't need writers because gems up here. Just. And then Amy wrote Captain Obvious again. And then I said, thank God for Steve, because
I was laughing so hard reading all these comments this morning.
Oh, I rewatched it this morning just so that I could
I did too.
What would we do without him? We couldn't have a thought of our own.
No. Nope.
Well, and then speaking of thoughts of our own, we have Amy run into the big guy who freaks people out. He likes to throw things and he's angry. He wants to hurt her. But I see him stumbling and drunk and he likes to bother the ladies. And I was just like, seems like some men today who give off the incel vibes, because that's what this guy was giving off to me.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, 100%.
Yep.
And I wrote, I choose the bear.
Yeah.
Always the bear.
Yep.
There, I will say, when they came back from commercial, there was a beautiful shot of the Northern Lights.
Yes. Yes. And when I looked up the hotel, it did say that the hotel is like that, sort of like one of their draws is that people
so
go there so
north.
They can see the Northern Lights.
That is so
that would work for
cool.
me, because that is, I've seen them once in my life, and it was, I thought it was aliens. I had never heard of I was in like junior high. I was at a church camp. And we were winter camping or something. I don't know. I know
that sounds
sound like
awful.
Me,
that
but
sounds
it was. Yeah.
Awful.
And I only did it like once or twice.
No.
Too cold.
Camping is bad enough. Winter
I know.
Camping.
I know. I know. Mm-mm. But the Northern Lights, we were up north in the Boundary Waters and we saw the Northern Lights, and I had never seen anything so amazing in my life, which
That's
is why
awesome.
I love all those colors. I surround myself in my room with all those colors and those shapes and everything. I just love it. It's so cool.
Yeah, it's I mean, far enough up there that you're not getting any really light pollution any of that sort of stuff. If you notice, when Steve was driving, it was a lot of a dirt road. And probably further north and east of where they're at is likely accessible by snowmobile in the winter only, and planes in a lot of other ways. We haven't even gone through all of the people we meet yet. Now we meet Bill.
Amy,
Bill.
You're going to have a lot of fun editing this, because
we're jumping all over it, which is fine. That's fine.
We're still in segment one, though.
But we've already talked about the Crypt Keeper, and he's in segment two.
We'll get to him.
Oh, yeah, we have.
We're just leading people to
Dusty McGee.
Keep coming back. But we meet Bill, and he's not that worried, but he's worried because his daughters are worried. And I just put typical dad.
Yeah.
Like he's like, I don't know if there's anything to really be worried about. And he's all like, well, the guy, like when I lose something, he just puts it back for me, or he points out where it's supposed to be. Or if I'm missing my 10mm socket, it's like all of a sudden it's there in front of me. Mm-hmm. Everyone's always losing 10mm.
I know.
I
just
can't
had a
tell
conversation
you how many
about that.
I can't tell you how many times I've lost my 10mm socket.
Yep.
Today alone, it's been 5.
Wow.
It's the most common one.
Right. Yep, it is.
I have no idea what that is, by the way.
Oh, it's, yeah.
I think it's the thing that you turn and it goes, keek, 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 keek.
It is. And it's the size that fits into most things you would turn. Mm-hmm.
Which is why it gets misplaced a lot.
Because it gets used in every room and people just leave it all over. And I said to Greg, well, then why don't they make those socket sets with like 10 of those in them so that you can have one in every room?
That's
and he was
smart.
like, they do.
Oh, well,
but okay, people still lose them.
Yeah. Just Bill, he's just so
nonchalant.
Interesting. And he's just kind of like, eh. And
Yeah.
I put in here later on, if you remember Boomhauer from King of the Hill, that's what he sounds like. He's slightly more coherent than Boomhauer, but there was a lot of like, what was it that he said?
I know they should have put captions on some of it. I mean, I watch it all with captions anyway, but
he did talk about the three-headed thing again, just like both Heather and Don did. But the way he described it, this one was that one head was stacked on top of another. So I was like, so what is this? The three kids in a trench coat sneaking into the movie? I mean,
right.
Because that's
I
what
can't
made
wait
me
to
think,
pipe all this into the AI program and see what it comes up with.
Oh, this is going to be gold.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this is that thing that they all saw at the same time, and everybody saw different faces. Which, no thanks.
That's very disturbing. And we're
and then that's
sent
this
back
is
to
one
Stephen
where
King on that one.
this is one where Don's like, yeah, we just, you know, we went to bed after that.
That
We all
night,
nodded.
you
We all
mean?
agreed it was there.
Yeah, we knew. But I just figured if I pulled my covers up, it wouldn't find me.
That's right.
Yep. Then we cut over to Amy, who's in the basement. And I'm kind of annoyed because I feel like we don't get much. Like, there's a lot of stuff going on in the basement, but we don't get a lot of detail. Like, she sees somebody crawling up the stairs. And
That
that's
part
wanting
was scary.
to
That
scare
scared the
her.
shit out of me.
There's the wanting to, like, something standing guard, which it's like, it's fascinating. So what was down there? So now a little bit of Central Alaska was in this hotel where was based around the gold rush. And this is a place where miners would stay and everything.
People digging in the mines, not people 18 and under.
Correct. And
Thank you
so,
for correct
yeah,
clarifying
so
that.
there
I'm
was
here for you
definitely
guys.
some like thoughts where she's talking about being in that downstairs area that I'm like, because there was the pipes where she said it was really hot down there. And I wasn't actually necessarily associating it with her being physically warm at that time, but that she was getting the like feeling of somebody getting really hot down there, not
Oh,
herself.
see, me,
But that
that's what I
was.
took it as, because I'm like,
I took
pipes
it
are
as
gonna
the
be
room was
hot.
hot.
Yeah.
And then they showed all those pipes. And so I was like, well, maybe that's the heating
See,
system.
and that's what I figured, like when I read your guys' comments in there, is I saw that and I was like, totally makes sense. But the way my brain went was that she was channeling somebody who is like, no, don't go over there. It's really hot. So not that mining underground was it, like underground is a fairly consistent temperature, but they're also using a lot of different things and that can heat things up and you don't have a space to escape to. So that's where my brain was going, is maybe she's seen, I feel like she saw a lot of residual energy that is just not talked about after she says, there's women crying on the ground. There's these men down here. Cause she talked about a lot of men who were working. And so that's why I went to that maybe it was them mining,
The miners, yeah.
which
That makes
doesn't make sense.
sense.
Well, it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense of them being in the basement doing that, unless it was just a safe space. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe the basement was a mine at one point.
Or maybe it was near a mine.
Yeah.
So something. Maybe they just wanted attention. I don't know. Yeah, lots of things that, like I said earlier, lots of things are kind of left up to our interpretation or to us to like draw connections to.
Yeah.
We go back to Bill now after we've talked with Amy. And Bill's like, well, my daughters are always worried about stuff. And, you know, I figured if it was helping me out, it couldn't be a bad thing. So which feels like we know now is gaslighting that, well, you guys are scared, but it's helping me, so it's not a problem. It's like, this sounds familiar. I just can't put my finger. Just can't put my finger on it. I don't know why this sounds familiar. And then Steve says something like, you know, you gotta prepare. What if Amy says that you can't stay here and you really like that you shouldn't be working here? And he's like, unless this place is full of demons, I'm not leaving.
And
And
that's
I
what
thought
I
he
got.
said full of beans. Sound like he said, who is this place full of beans?
Which, if it was full of beans, I wouldn't be there either, because beans are
I
gross.
know. Back to to the bean discussion.
It all comes back to beans, not pee. Beans or pee, interchange them.
Yep. And then through all of this, now we hear about Colette. Like, I don't remember hearing anything about his wife.
No.
Who is the stepmom to the girls.
This is the, yeah.
And by girls, I mean women who are
they all
like
seem
around
the same
our age.
The stepmom seems the same age as the
and
quote unquote girls.
She so has like that Alaskan like accent.
Yeah.
And it's just precious.
I didn't know there was an Alaskan accent until I saw your comment.
When AP first said that, I was like, I was like, what? She has a, but then I'm like, she kind of just sounds like a North, like us almost. But then I remembered, you know, who's, you can see Alaska from her house. Mm-hmm. And she sounded like her a little bit.
There's the very just, yeah.
Also, Tina Fey does an amazing impersonation of Sarah Palin.
Good.
It is
so
hysterical.
Good. Yeah.
And of course, we have her describe the three-headed person or three-headed thing. And, you know,
yeah.
Steve did not ask if she was drinking or boozing or if she was on any medications. But
no,
I'm sure if this was two seasons later, he would have.
He would have.
Yeah.
But I didn't think he was. I didn't think he was buying it.
No.
But yeah, I don't really. I didn't get that he was buying anybody, really.
No. Yeah. No. He
but
he
again,
seem...
we're earlier on in this show, right. So he's a lot more skeptical.
Right.
And then we get to, you know, we cut away from Steve, who's like all skeptic Greg. And we hear Amy talking about this 7-foot man who she thinks is a shapeshifter, which we don't hear much about shapeshifters from her.
Really.
But also that he can... find he can take form of people's greatest fears, which Amy then put it. Yeah, it's Pennywise. This is Pennywise.
Oh, see, that made me think of Harry Potter. There's a I don't know. I don't remember what it's called, but there's something, a Dementor, no, and it can take.
It's
yeah,
not
I
the
think it's a Dementor.
No, it's that, something else in the box that they.
Oh,
change.
You're right. Yeah. And it changes into your greatest fear. Mm-hmm. And that's what it made me think about.
Yeah.
That just shows how different
AP and
I are.
That's what the clown was in it.
Yeah. Oh, Pennywise. It's so good.
No, thank you. That's
Bill Skarsgård as Pennywise in the more recent ones.
No.
He's so good. And that's.
We all float down here.
Yeah. I remember seeing the original It. And I didn't think it was that great. But I read the book, of course, because I read all of Stephen King's books when I was younger. And I read an article, or maybe it was an interview I saw with somebody who was talking about Stephen King, and they said that the reason that Stephen King's movies are not as scary as the books is that the books aren't showing you anything.
Yeah, you have to imagine it.
Yes. And the fact that your brain is making up something that is scary for you. It's scarier than seeing something on the screen that the filmmaker thought was scary.
Yeah.
And that's how Stephen King's books work.
That makes sense.
How Pennywise is. That's how It was. Megan, you had a.
I did. So my brother is older than me by 3.5 years, and he likes scary movies, and I 100% do not. And so when I had a day bed growing up, and so when I was like maybe 10 or 11, so he would have been 14-ish, he watched It, the original. And he was up a lot, like getting up and going to the bathroom and, you know, like not going to bed. And so my mom was like, Nick, you need to get to bed. And I was still awake. And he goes, well, I'm sorry, but I just watched a movie about a clown that eats kids. And I heard that. And I was awake the entire night picturing a clown crawling up over the end of my daybed and eating me.
My God. Megan, you should be a writer of scary things, because you come up with the craziest shit.
My imagination is...
It's pretty good.
It's
wild.
Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish it wasn't, because it's a blessing and a curse, but I was petrified.
Yeah.
Petrified.
Yeah.
No, I'm sure.
Anyways, the first time we've gotten off topic, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's the very first time we've ever gotten off topic in the entire history of the show.
Yep.
Thanks, Megan.
2.5 years. I'm so sorry.
It's all right. I'll bring us back. I'll introduce us quickly to Pam, the real estate agent, who
yes.
just literally plays a part to tell us that it's been for sale for 10 years
That's
and
it.
it's unusual. Yeah, it's in the middle of BF
Yeah.
nowhere.
Right.
Yeah.
And
With a population of 101 people.
is it really surprising? It's not really a destination
Yeah.
place. I mean, other than like the Northern Lights and that sort of stuff, but it's not really a, there's not a lot of stuff around there that's going to draw people in. So
No.
that's really all that brings us.
Unless
And
that saloon has really amazing drinks, but I don't know.
But
they
then
don't have money
Steve,
to hire a bartender. So, like,
no. Steve
their
just
main
told us, well,
drinks
they
are made
probably
by
got some good
ghosts.
bottles back at there from like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
But at least in this one, Steve didn't ask if anybody died in the area.
Yeah.
He did ask if she knows about any deaths in the area.
That occurred in the place or around it,
Yes.
which is better than saying, has anybody in this town died in the last 300 years? Nope. Nope.
Nope.
That was a
They're all alive
terrible, that
and
was
we're
such a
all
terrible
still
question.
alive.
We're all a miracle. We're studied.
We love that he asked that, though, because that gave us a lot of fodder. Thank you for listening. The activity continues. We'll be back after this short break.
Unleash the power of stories anywhere, anytime with Audible. Immerse yourself in gripping stories, insightful knowledge, and captivating characters anytime, anywhere. Audible is your library on the go. With hundreds of thousands of titles across every genre, there's a world of reading waiting for your ears. Listen while you cook, clean, or commute. Free your eyes to conquer your day, all while feeding your mind. Start your 30-day free trial today and discover the joy of listening. Go to audibletrial.com/TAC. That stands for The Activity Continues. With your free 30-day trial, you get one credit, 2 credits if you're a Prime member, good for any premium selection titles you like, yours to keep. You get the Audible Plus catalog of podcasts, audiobooks, guided wellness, and Audible originals. Listen all you want, no credits needed. Again, that is audibletrial.com/TAC.
If you're a regular listener, you know we love our three spirit drinks.
They are the non-alcoholic spirit drinks that are taking the world by storm.
Three Spirit is a range of three distinct drinks, each with its own unique flavor and effect.
The Livener is a refreshing and invigorating drink that is perfect for starting your day or night.
The Social Elixir is a smooth and sophisticated drink that's perfect for sharing with friends.
And the Nightcap is a calming and relaxing drink that's perfect for winding down before bed.
All three drinks are made with plant-based ingredients and are free from alcohol, gluten, and sugar. They're also vegan and ethically sourced.
So, whether you're looking for a delicious and refreshing drink to enjoy on its own, or a sophisticated non-alcoholic alternative to cocktails, Three Spirit is the perfect choice for you.
Try Three Spirit today and discover the difference. Visit us.threespiritdrinks.com and use the promo code THEACTIVITYCONTINUES for 15% off your entire order.
Cheers!
That was the best cheer. One yet. Well, I mean, the Crypt Keeper is here, so
oh,
it does kind
we are
of...
starting segment two with
segment
our Crypt
two!
Keeper, Bob the Owner.
Compared to Bob the Builder.
Yes. So we find that Steve has to drive back down to Fairbanks, probably because he's also got to do research down there. But he drives back to go talk to Bob, who purchased this facility in 1980 and ran it until 2002.
And that's when it closed
and
hasn't
when it
opened since.
Closed. And he said, Steve asks, why did you close it? And he just says, my age and I didn't want to put up with any more managers.
Mm-hmm. I said he sounds like a prick.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Isn't Bill a manager?
Bill's the caretaker. He's not a manager. So the manager would have been
right.
Who's running
so
the
difference
operation.
Would be, yeah.
So the difference would be that the Bill could still be on as a caretaker during that time, but he wouldn't have been running the front of house, running the
talking to clients, customers,
and all
stuff
that sort
like
of stuff.
Trying
he
to bring it into
2002. Yeah,
and he would have just been stuck taking care in 1980.
Right. Yes. They did buy it in 1980.
That's what I'm saying. Like that's probably what he was meant. He didn't want to deal with any more managers trying to change what he thought it should be.
Yeah, he didn't. It was. What I kind of figured is he didn't want somebody else knowing how to market it better or do it better because of Amy, you put in here, he's a my way or the highway type guy.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he seemed like.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I read AP's comment about the Crypt Keeper, I laughed out loud at that.
I know.
You're welcome.
It was.
Because I said, I had written, when we do our notes, we kind of put notes in and then whoever is reading someone else's note makes a comment on it. So just so you guys know, it's how this works. And so then I read him in the morning, I laugh my ass off. But I said, he sounds like a highway or my way type gent. And AP wrote, girl, he's the Crypt Keeper.
And I laughed hard at that.
There could also be another title.
Yes. Girl, he's the Crypt Keeper.
Girl.
Is now a good time for me to tell you about the article that I read? Okay,
please
I won't read you the whole thing, but so I found an article about the owner and they call him Bobby. Bobby Miller. Mm. And he says this was
he sounds like he should be a 1950s singer.
Bobby Miller. Yeah.
Bobby Miller.
Yeah. Like who's the Miller Orchestra?
Glenn Miller.
Glenn Miller. Yep.
He disappeared.
He disappeared? Like there's a crime?
Look it up.
Okay, he was a conductor. I will.
It was on an episode of The Golden Girls.
Oh, thought you were going to tell me it was an episode of a podcast you listened to. Golden Girls.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
They are so hip, you guys.
I guess. God. All right. So this was an article from 2006. And he says he's not selling the hotel. So this was before, obviously.
By the way, Steve Miller Band is might be what you were thinking about, Amy.
No, I was thinking of Glenn Miller. I was thinking
I've
of the
never heard
the
of Glenn
old...
Miller. All I can think of is Steve
it's
Miller.
An orchestra.
Steve Miller's like the 70s and Glenn Miller's like the big band stuff. Mm-hmm. From, you know, Bobby's time.
Bobby Miller's time.
Back in the 1700s when he was born. So he says his wife is Laverna Miller. They were keeping the hotel and the Hot Springs property. He's 89 in 2006. He says he's not selling the hotel because of his age. He says, quote, truthfully, my body feels like it's 20 years old. I've never had a headache in my whole life. And I've been under pressure, something terrible.
Oh, God.
And then he goes
under
on.
Under pressure.
So then, God, you guys, that reminds me. I just have to interject this or I'll forget it. No, this is, I saw a meme that said, job interview, HR person, how do you perform under pressure?
Oh.
The person said, well, I can do the David Bowie part pretty well, but I can't sing like Freddie Mercury.
It's a good song, everybody.
Oh, it's a great song. Oh, my God. Okay.
Different from Vanilla Ice's.
Yeah. That one wasn't as good.
No.
As for the rumor, this is part of from the article, which I will put in the show notes. As for the rumors of a resident ghost, Miller has a ready answer. Yes, that's Mrs. Leach, he said. I heard rumors. I couldn't prove it, but one of my best friends, an elderly fellow.
There it is again.
As opposed to him, who's 89.
He's spry as
an elderly fellow was up there. He's real hard-headed, very honest. He was up there once, and he says he saw it. So in 2006, he believed that it was a ghost.
And that it was Mrs. Leach.
And here we are on the Dead Files episode with him going, I'm not selling. I'm selling because of my age. And there's no such thing as ghosts.
Yeah. Nope.
Yeah.
But
a bunch of baloney about these ghosts.
Yeah.
But is what he said.
This guy gives off the vibes that when he became the Crypt Keeper, he was actually going to collect souls. Like he gave off the vibes of being one of those spirits where Amy would be like, so he's collected people over the years.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Probably all the managers he didn't feel like dealing with.
Yeah. We can veer away from him and head towards our helicopter crash now.
Oh. Nice. Nice pun. Yeah,
thank you.
I got that.
We hear Steve going to look for things and it always bugs me because it's like a newly married bride was in a crash. Well, where was her newly married husband? He was also in the crash.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the part where, you know, Amy talks about feeling a woman in her death state. She's in a dress, and Amy talks about being choked with, like, having her equilibrium off and everything. Mm-hmm. But basically, this was really interesting. So Steve is talking with Darren Young, who's an aeronautical expert, which I went to college with, a Darren Young, spelled a little differently, but went to college with one. And I also said, this gave really eerie, like, connection to the Kobe Bryant helicopter crash.
Yeah.
Because, mm-hmm. again, going up a mountainside, didn't have the clearance there during that one. A heavy fog came in or something like that. That, yeah, kind of gave us that little bit of a drop here. We don't get a lot of what actually happened. We just hear that the helicopter took off and it was taking a newlywed couple up the mountain. Well, I found
to their reception to at the Central Springs,
Circle Hot Springs. So I did find an article that was from the aeronautical, like, investigation about this, and Amy will have this linked in the show notes.
Yep.
So it was a summer wedding, even though it was a snowstorm that popped up, because it is Northern Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a summer solstice wedding on June 21st, 2002. Now, when did Bob decide to close down the resort?
Mm-hmm. June 20th.
2002.
Well, in 2002. So the wedding happened June 21st. And the flight started at 11:19 p.m. Now, the bride and her husband wanted
early wedding if they're already married and on the way to reception.
PM.
That's late for a reception, don't you think?
That is late for a reception.
But is it at the time when in Alaska when it's light all the time?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I was waiting for you guys to just give me a shot to get there.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know that was part of your story. I didn't read that part of it.
I didn't add that part in, but because it is the summer solstice, which means the longest day of light, which means it's light for 24 hours a day in Alaska for a short amount of time there or in that northern part. And I have been there for a wedding in Alaska in July, and 11:30 at night, it was still quite bright out.
Mm-hmm.
So they got married. They wanted to get it married as they wanted a midnight wedding, being they wanted to get it as close to midnight as possible. And then they were going to get in their helicopter to fly 8 miles away to Circle Hot Springs. So, however, there was a snowstorm that was moving in. Because we're in the mountains, we're in Alaska, there's weather changes on a dime. And people saw them getting into the helicopter and thought, oh, they're just getting out of the weather. They didn't realize that the helicopter was taking off. Basically, they're saying this helicopter should have never taken off. The winds were picking up. It was heavy, wet snow. Like, think of the blizzards that we've driven in where it looks like you're going through Star Wars where the snow is coming flying at your face. That's what people were seeing. So the helicopter should have never taken off. They had less than 100 feet of visibility.
Jeez Louise.
There was four people on board, the newlyweds, the pilot, and his wife. The other three people were all injured. It was only an 8-mile flight, but people couldn't see them from the resort. So people got up to the resort, driving up there, helicopter's not there. Mm-hmm. Where are they? So they start going back down the mountain, and that's when they find the helicopter resting on its belly, the motor still running, the blades were on the ground, fuselage and pieces were in different parts.
Oh my God.
Get all the people out of the helicopter, bring them to the highway, but then there's no ambulance. Mm-hmm. So they have to bring them in. So one of the things that was in the investigation is that the pilot didn't want to leave the helicopter on the mountainside. So he didn't want to leave the helicopter where it was at Eagles Mountain, or Eagle Summit is where they got married at, because of the storm. He didn't want to leave the helicopter on the mountain. Because the mind was, I can't leave this here and let it get ruined. I got to move it up the mountain.
It's already been crashed.
No. Before, the reason he wanted to take off, he didn't want to leave the helicopter on the mountain. That's what I thought too. I'm like, well, it's already crashed.
Okay. Yeah.
And then my other thought was like, is someone going to steal it? Like, I what?
Know. No.
It's going to get wet.
Part of the reasoning for taking off where they did when they shouldn't have was he didn't want to leave it on the mountainside.
Yeah.
Like I said, guests found them. Eyewitnesses stated that they were surprised that the helicopter took off. Like, they saw the red light rising on the tail of the helicopter and were like, what are they doing?
Mm-hmm.
Little additional information that the pilot had received his license only the year before. He had 506 hours of flight time, but only he had 126 hours in that in a helicopter, which is of the same make and model of that aircraft.
That is not a lot of time.
No. So if you think of what, 24 hours, you've got what, 4 days is 96. Yeah. So he had a little over five, 6 days of.
Holy shit. When you put it that way,
not even a week.
Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit more as to what we didn't get out of this. So it was literally like they said, I do. And are going to their reception when this accident happens. Yeah. There was no indication as to, like, my guess is that either she didn't have the seatbelts on or her side hit down first. Mm-hmm. And is what happened. And they did say that it took a while for people to find them. So she didn't die right away.
Mm-hmm. And they also said that if they had been closer to a hospital, that she probably would have lived.
Yeah. Correct. It was poor circumstances. Sad. So yeah. I put in here, I wonder if this is related to why Bob decided he wanted to sell. Yeah. Get out, yeah. Because that can't be good publicity. Now right. You're associated with, you know, you're associated with this sad tragedy of a woman losing her life and everybody else
on
being
her
injured
wedding
on that
day. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They probably hadn't even been married like an hour.
Right.
Barely.
Yeah.
Because the flight took off at 11:19. I didn't see, I'm sure they had in there the approximate crash time, but it does sound like that the pilot was put at fault.
Yeah.
Kind of sounds like that was correct.
That was.
And did the husband die too?
No. She was the only fatality. Oh. The other three were gravely, were significantly injured.
Right.
So. That story was far more interesting than I feel like the second story that we hear about Frank and Emma Leach is just like an afterthought of like, ooh, we better shove some stuff together because these are the spirits that are in the house.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
It was just a story of a couple from the 1920s.
That's why there was nothing there. They didn't have, there wasn't like significant deaths. No. There wasn't all of this
tragedy.
Stuff.
And, they didn't lose their land. They didn't murder anybody.
Which is like, why, this is one of those stories that I'm like, if this was a story that was brought up in like season 10 and beyond, do you think that this would have been a chosen location?
I don't.
Maybe not.
It's not fantastical.
But that's
enough.
Too bad because it's a cool episode. And it's a cool story.
It is.
It doesn't have to have a murder.
Episode.
No, but if you're a producer and looking for the drama effect, I don't think that this would have been chosen later on.
Right.
No.
Well, and if you're, you know, season one, they probably had 50 cases to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
Season 14, they had 15,000.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, the high level that we learn is Frank and Emma Leach. Emma, her maiden name was Gunt. And so the guy was like, I think it's German. His name was Al Cook, the local historian. So is he like one of 100 people living there, or is he in Fairbanks?
Well, I think Steve was in Fairbanks when he was talking to these people.
Yeah. So they built the Hot Springs Hotel in 1930. Basically, Frank, see, this is where it got a little like, about things in the Frank was a hard worker. He was handy. He loved to build things. He built all the furniture for the hotel. So tell me about his wife. She was a bitch.
Yeah, pretty
like
much.
That is basically what we got.
Yeah, you're right.
She wasn't thoroughly loved. You'd hear her yelling. Well, maybe because her husband was lazy.
But, you know, and I think about,
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that maybe that's a reason.
Well, if she had a heavy German accent, means she immigrated from Germany and is now in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably has no way to contact family, friends, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like one of those things. It's like he's made out to be this great person and she's a bitch.
Yeah.
And Germans are not like, they're not known for being
emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're known for like very to the point.
Yeah.
Get shit done.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And owning and building a business, a lot of shit needs to get done. So she probably wasn't yelling. She was probably like, we need to do this and this and this and this.
Well, and then, I mean, and that can come across as that harsh and overbearing and everything. And Amy did say these things because she threatens to push Amy's head into the table and that sort
that
of
was
stuff.
Aggressive.
So, you know, but to that, it's like, are we missing the fact where Amy's telling us that she believes this is her home? Mm-hmm. Like, she built this place, you know, like those kinds of things that we hear later on in stories that Amy provides. Maybe she didn't get any of that, but I, you know, it's kind of convenient if there was that to cut out on the cutting room floor.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you close your eyes when Al Cook was talking, he sounded like Christopher Walken.
I'll have to watch again because I didn't read that comment until after
I was looking down writing my notes, and I was like, oh my God, is Christopher Walken on this episode? No, it's Al Cook.
Yep.
Al Cook.
Yep. And yeah, basically they died and they're buried at in the cemetery. Like there was just nothing. Mm-mm. There was no spark or spectacular or tragic, brutal murder.
Yeah.
You know, a tragic life where they had 17 children that died, or he swindled the neighbors out of all their money, or he was really rich and then died broke and alone. Like,
or he
none
got
of
in a
the
bar
typicals.
Fight and killed someone, and
or he didn't pay for his oysters and got beat up.
Yep.
Fucking those goddamn oysters.
So it's kind of like
always pay for your oysters.
It just was, right?
Yeah. Also, don't have oysters for lunch because that's weird.
That doesn't sound great. Thanks.
I don't like oysters. I wouldn't have them at any time.
Nope. Amy gets to the sketch and decides to sketch two.
I know.
People.
I love it when she does two. It's like a present.
Of course, we get the domineering 7-foot man who carries an axe. Here's
great.
Jack. Here's Johnny.
Yeah.
Red Rum.
Here's Johnny.
Oh, yeah. See, it made me think of Paul Bunyan.
Yeah. With the lumberjack flannel
shirt. Yeah,
the
lumberjack. Mm-hmm. And baby.
Well, I was just going
ox.
Off of how we were connecting everything to The Shining.
I know
earlier.
You
then
were.
He's he's walking around as a spirit or an entity with an axe. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and in The Shining, Jack Nicholson is...
He hates women.
Yes. he
Jack
was
Nicholson didn't hate women in The Shining.
Well, he hated his wife.
Well, I mean, that was the spirit.
Yeah, it was the spirit.
But that's part of the whole thing. He when he's breaking down the door with the axe, he actually was a volunteer fireman, and so he knew how to use an axe on the doors. And they went through like 19 doors because Stanley Kubrick just wanted him to keep going.
Oh my God!
The first take. Nobody was actually, like, the cameras were rolling, but he wasn't supposed to be doing anything yet. That's when he started swinging. That's when you hear the screams because he caught everybody off guard. So they cut the screams from when he did that.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
God.
That's what you hear in the movie. But it was because he wasn't supposed to, there was not supposed to be action on set.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yikes. That's a scary movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is. I'm not a fan. I mean,
anything
it's a masterpiece,
else?
I love
but it.
It
scares me.
I love it.
Which is really hard to do. So,
anything else in the sketch, ladies?
I like that they were both wearing purple.
Yeah, they were both in this
it was
really
so
pretty
cute.
Shade of lavender.
Yes.
It's like my walls, which you can't see because they're all covered up. But
I was like, they're so coordinated.
Yeah.
I always wonder because, you know, we see Amy in a lot of black, but then her hair later in later shows, we see a lot of pinks and purples.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like if that's one of her colors that like is a protector to her or a healer or that sort of thing. Like we've learned from Jenny about certain colors being.
Jenny's our psychic friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. That very well could be. We'll have to ask her that when she's on the show.
Yeah.
Amy Allen, please come join us. We will.
We can't wait to hear from you.
We'll
then we get
drop
to the reveal
to talk to you.
we get to the reveal and it's Heather, Dawn, and Bill. I don't, there was only 100 people in town. Yeah. Couldn't have just had Colette in there. I mean, come on, people.
You could have had the whole town in there.
Yeah.
They did have 3% of the town in that room.
Yes. I mean,
you're right.
I am on fire with my math today.
You are.
Which is not something I can say every day.
We'll just call you Butter because you're on a roll.
Oh, I love that.
I don't think we learn anything new in the reveal. Like, we get the story. Steve talks about, you know, they said I do and then she died. You know, he's like, she never made it to her reception. And Amy's like, oh my gosh. Amy does say she cannot clearly say if the woman she sees who has it off equilibrium and is in the white dress is the bride. Yeah. That's left for us. She never sees her face mm-hmm. and she doesn't get who she is because she's so wrapped up in her death state.
And right. She also said she didn't see a helicopter crash related to her.
Correct.
Right. But she did see spinning.
Yes. And the equilibrium being off. So yeah. it wasn't
probably
a full connection.
Is her, but yeah, it wasn't is. A solid connection.
Yeah.
It's like left for us to.
Line.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I really thought she was, that she was, when she was in that room, remember that I took that screenshot mm-hmm. where she's on the floor going like this.
Which looks like she's in the, it looks like a music video from the 90s.
Yeah.
And it's a ballad. And she's like in the middle of a long note.
That's right. But that was a really, I felt so bad for Amy in that scene.
Mm-hmm.
But she's saying, oh my God, what is she doing? She's spinning and she's spinning and she's spinning and there's blood. And that's why I thought it was a helicopter. I was picturing the helicopter spinning around before it crashed. But that's just
it could have even been that she got, potentially she got out of the helicopter on her own accord afterwards and stumbled around and sees the blades above. Because the motor was still running, but the blades had, at least one blade had broken off.
Okay.
At least what I saw in the accident report.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, everything else really focuses on Emma and Frank.
Yeah.
And,
You
know, we get the whole like, oh, she was overbearing, blah, blah, blah. And then we get the picture of what looks like a cross-eyed lady to me.
Yeah, it does. I will
say, she was cross-eyed.
I did pause it before they started talking about it to garner my own conclusions from it because I didn't want their input mm-hmm. to kind of taint what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
The nose 100% mm-hmm. is Emma's nose.
And they call that out a couple of times. It's mm-hmm. all in the nose. It's all in the nose kind of thing.
Well, and I thought the cheeks too.
Yeah.
And she has
the thin lips.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like that picture, she doesn't look like a nasty, mean old woman.
She doesn't.
I mean, we've seen some of the ones where we've been told, like, who is the one where her mom wanted to kill her after she
yes.
the mom was already dead. Like, she looked like a nasty woman.
She looked like a bitch. Just like mean in the face. She doesn't look like that.
She gives off German grandmotherly vibes. But we don't even know if they had kids. We don't know if she was a grandma.
Right.
Right.
Like, all we know is
maybe Amy just meant an elderly woman, not necessarily.
Yeah, but well, the daughters also, Heather, I think, describes seeing this woman as a grandmotherly type.
Yeah.
So I'm almost wondering if they never did, because you'd think that we'd see something or hear something about that in mm-hmm. the resort.
Mm-hmm.
Hotel resort, you know, same thing. There wasn't really anything. We hear, you know, again, Colette, we mentioned earlier, she saw what she thought was a bear. She started reaching for a pistol, pretty common, and I would say in small town rural areas.
Well, especially in Alaska, when you have mm-hmm. polar bears and all the other wildlife.
Grizzlies are your more common.
Yeah, but they're still polar
bears
in Alaska.
You got to get up way up into the Arctic to get to the polars.
They maybe come down for a little vacation.
They come stay at the hot springs.
Yeah. They're like Circle Hot Springs, heck yeah.
But basically we hear from Amy that, it's the house is definitely safe for your father, but it's not for any woman.
Yeah.
Anyone who is female, this man hates.
Right.
For no reason other than he despised his wife, who they're living together in the afterlife because they're buried there. I just was like, what about Colette? She also lives there and nobody seems to care.
Yeah.
Well, maybe she's not around. Maybe either she's not as sensitive and she doesn't know that it's
mm-hmm.
being mean to her, mimicking her, not mimicking, mocking her. I don't know. Maybe she doesn't stay there very often.
Yep.
I don't know.
Amy hears about all of them seeing the three-headed thing and that it showed itself differently to each of them. And she's like, ooh, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
He can go inside your mind and find out what scares you and use that against you. And so that's what he was doing.
Just like Stephen mm-hmm. King.
Yes.
And Harry Potter.
Yep. So what do we learn? What do they have to do? They have like the easiest assignment anyone ever. And I'm surprised. I don't feel like we get anything about helping the grieving lady move on.
Mm-mm,
the one who's stuck in her death state.
No.
All we hear about is this, that, Oh, yeah. You got to lay down the law with.
Yeah.
Bill's going to need to lay down the law. Basically, you need to tell him there are terms and conditions. You don't mess with any women. You don't disrespect them and so on and so forth. And then you guys come in being like, we're not going to tolerate this. And if you do anything, you know the consequences, which will be banishment, basically. And they do not want that. And then Amy kind of is like, most people don't realize that entities can remain at a location because they are allowed to. But if they start causing problems, you can put your foot down and demand that they leave, which is something we don't really hear her say again.
No.
At least that I can remember.
No.
Steve.
She almost contradicts herself later on in the show because she says you have to force people, like some of them, you have to force them to leave. Mm-hmm. But yep. Maybe it's because she learns more about them as she
could be. It just could be the intensity of the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sometimes the spirits kind of want to go, but they don't really know how. And so they're kind of act like dicks while they're here.
Yep.
And then you just have to help move them on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then Steve just goes, let's see, how do you feel knowing that this could all be better? And Don's like, this is great. And then he's like, what do you think, Dad? You're going to have a talk? Yeah. So one man to another. I'm like, shut up, Steve. Just shut up. And Bill goes, yeah, we're buddies. So let's keep it that way. Like, okay.
My thought process was,
could Frank be hiding things from Bill and then helping him find them?
Could be. But
like,
it doesn't.
I'm useful to you because I'm helping you find your socket.
Because Bill is the one who's doing the caretaking and probably fixing things and building things. And that is what Frank used to do. And so I think he sees there's more of a relation there.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I get that.
I do like your line of thinking. I don't know if that would be or not. We'll never know.
Could be.
We'll never know.
Yeah.
But we do find that since the investigation, Bill has had a talk with the entity and the hostility towards women has decreased.
Decreased. Not gone. Decreased. He's learning. He's growing.
Learning.
He's evolving.
And then the
Me Too movement happened and Frank was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been called out.
So it was a really interesting episode because it was so different than so many that we've done. There wasn't, like we said, there was a lot of things.
It wasn't scary.
No.
It was emotional, I thought, because of Amy.
Mm-hmm. Megan got scared?
Where'd you get scared?
When they talked about the rugs standing up.
Oh, the rugs.
And then when they showed
that
the second
sketch. That was just the cleaning
company.
Megan
got scared.
Okay. Yeah, that was a good one.
It was really good. Yeah. I really liked it. Yeah. Good pick, AP.
Thank you.
Good job.
It was a good one.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about your chili recipe that we're going to share? Yeah, I know you talked about it before, but we should talk about it.
Yes. My chili recipe is one that I found on Pinterest. It is a sweet potato and black bean slow cooker chili. So I will...
Megan's face.
It's so good, but I've made it where I've had it as kept it vegetarian
really
or I've added like ground venison or ground beef or ground turkey or something to it too. So it is a slow cooker recipe, and it is, I just follow the base of the recipe. I don't measure my spices. I just
measure with love.
That's right. Measure with your heart.
Measure with my heart. Absolutely.
Good.
So,
all right. And then do you want to also, I know we talked about this last time too, but do you want to also mention your hot chocolate?
The frozen hot chocolate. Yeah. So frozen hot chocolate, actually Dairy Queen has a fantastic frozen
really?
Hot chocolate. Oh yeah.
I want to go to Dairy Queen next week because I'm taking my mom somewhere.
It's that ice, you know, the slush that you get in the Mr. Misties mixed with the ice cream and the chocolate that is like the hard shell stuff so that when it swirls in.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's they put a little whipped cream on top of that. It is so good. But yeah, you can make a frozen hot chocolate with basically blending ice, chocolate chips, and milk and stuff together. So there's a couple different recipes if you wanted to go and find and if you wanted to make it boozy, you could probably add Kahlua, Baileys. A chocolate Baileys to
it. How about
it?
A little Cutwater espresso martini?
Espresso martini. You could do all of that and nice. It would be pretty tasty.
Love it.
Delightful.
All right.
Yeah. So that's I highly recommend checking out, if you've got a Dairy Queen around you, I recommend tasting it out.
I'm going to get that. I'll get that next time.
Trying it out. That's the word I was looking for.
That's the word. Cool. All
bird. Right. Bird is the word.
Bird is the word. Bar, 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 bar,
well.
Bird. Bird's the word.
This is the first time you've sung this whole episode, Megan.
I'm sorry.
I've been trying to get her going.
I sang a lot.
Yeah. So,
well, thanks, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Next week, we will be starting a series of interviews. First up is our friend and patron, Zoe. She is a witch and a tarot card reader and so much more. You may have seen some posts we have made showcasing her readings that she offers. She will discuss how that works, and she may even do a reading for us. She also has some spooky stories to share. No doubt we'll have a lot to talk about. Maybe she'll even tell us about her recent stay at a haunted former convent. We have a couple more interviews lined up, including one with a Dead Files client, but more on that later.
So thanks for joining us, everyone.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Activity Continues podcast. We really appreciate you giving us your ears for a bit. Please reach out if you have a spooky story you'd like us to share on the show. We can be reached at theactivitycontinues@gmail.com or through our website or any of our socials. Links are all in the description of the show. Please feel free to drop us a note and say hi. And join us next time when the activity continues. The Activity Continues is produced by me, Amy, at Collected Sounds Media and is part of the independent Collected Sounds Podcast Network. We are also proud members of the Boo Pod Network of super cool podcasts.
Nailed it.
This is just a disclaimer and sort of warning about this podcast. The Activity Continues podcast is in no way affiliated with the Dead Files, its production company, or any of its distributors. We are simply fans that love the show and love to talk about it and dissect it and, yes, make fun of it. But we do love it. And all of the opinions expressed herein are ours alone and have nothing to do with the Dead Files or any of its cast, crew, production, or distributors. And we swear. Enjoy.